Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. It is Tuesday, March the 22nd, and I guess is this the second day of spring? I didn't pay attention. But of course, you know, who the hell knows what's going on anyways with, you know, with all the ridiculous crap that's going on throughout the economy. Doesn't it make you wonder why does it take so much engineering to keep this market afloat? And is it worth keeping afloat? Okay. You know, one of the things you have to recognize, you know, is when you build markets artificially, which is what we're doing here. Again, I'm not telling you we're going down. I'm not making any prediction. But what I'm saying to you is that we are seeing that one of the biggest house of cards being built in the history. Now, again, and this is not new. This has been going on for, obviously, the whole program's been going on for 7 years. But the initial burst was reasonable. I mean, the markets were oversold and did need some sort of a rally. But now that we've gotten back into the stratosphere and we've had this major rally of, you know, 13-14% off the lows. Why? What in the world has changed? Why do we continue to plow forward? Well, let's see. Let's go through the reasons why. There is no place else to go with your money, number one. No matter where you live in the world, if you want to have a chance for safe money, it's the U.S. Now, the U.S. bond market obviously is better than the U.S. equity market, although the equity market continues to fly. Now, this is where the emotions of greed play in. Okay, people aren't satisfied, and not that they should be, with, you know, 1 or 2% on a bond. Okay, but they're firing in, trying to get into this market, and you're seeing a lot of late money come in that missed the original rally, missed the last rally, and now here we go. As you start to unwind the buyers, you will see a bigger chance and a greater likelihood for a major sell-off. Now, again, I am not predicting that today or tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to come. Okay, I'm setting up the background for you so that you have a clear understanding on how the market functions. Okay, so this has nothing to do with today or tomorrow. Now, we could break today or tomorrow. I'm not saying we can or we don't, we will or we won't. But what I am saying is that, first of all, you've got Good Friday this week, so we've got a short week. We talked about that yesterday. Now, you know, could we get a big sell-off at the end of the week this week? We could. You know, again, you could see people not wanting to go home over the Easter weekend, massively long. But I couldn't swear one way or the other what they're going to do. I can tell you this, that the market is seeing buyers step in and buyers continue to step in. Once again, the bears have been totally torched. Once again, they're left wounded. Okay. But are they really wounded? I guess that would be question number one. Because if you look at some of the underlying stocks, the Caterpillars of the world and some of those, they're getting hammered here. Okay. So, you know, although the general markets are going higher, you know, Amazon has not gone anywhere. Google is not going anywhere. It is near its recent high here, but it hasn't gone anywhere. Apple is right now breaking a little bit out, you know, but it really hasn't. Again, still significantly away from its highs, although we've had a little rally. So how is the market being driven? Facebook? Yes. You know, Facebook's been great. OK, so how is the market? Are they being driven? And, you know, you have to remember that if you know the formula, OK, and the formula of, you know, what stocks have the most meaning to the market and that will raise the percentage of the price gain, then you could actually pinpoint certain stocks, push the overall all equity markets higher in the meantime while you are shorting everything else in the market, waiting for the big tumble. Now, I'm not saying that is what's happening, but I'm saying that the possibility exists that that's happening. Okay. Now you look at a lot of what's going on around the market. Forget about the global economy right now, but around the market, a lot of it does not look very good. Okay. Volume is relatively light with the exception of Friday, but that's, again, of course, triple witching is always obscure volume because of what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, big firms and big funds are rolling all of their positions through the option market to the next quarter, which creates artificial volume. In fact, if you go look at March, June, September, and December expiration Fridays, you will see volume that is usually twice that of any other day of the year. Now, that is a position that's called rolling, and that's where the firms that use these, what they call baskets of stocks, okay, they put together a basket of different stocks, almost like their own ETF, and they trade futures and options around them, really trying to lock in a gain and give themselves an opportunity not to get destroyed on their position. So that is extremely realistic and legitimate, and that's what you look for when you see these markets overreacting to a certain direction. Now, at the end, you know, we know that nothing has really changed, but we don't really care because we're technical traders, not fundamental traders. I mean, the fundamentals are brutal and they only appear to get worse. I mean, you know, you're looking at a lot of change. And somebody had mentioned to me once before that, you know, in all these periods, these can things happen. And so as we move into the new age world or the new technology world, okay, we see changes. But the bigger problems that you're seeing here is the overall willingness of governments to manipulate and screw around with their currency. Now, that is not true. That's not a true read, but you can't fight the chart. Does that make sense? I know it's a little mixy here, but one thing has nothing to do with the other. Wall Street is on an island, and it really is on an island, but it's on an island by itself. It doesn't care what the economy is doing because most of the economy doesn't affect Wall Street. Okay, so they're going to do what they're going to do either way. And they really could give a rat's, you know what, about what the rest of the world is doing, as long as they can manipulate and squeeze that money. Remember, money flows into the market every single day. No matter what's going on, pensions, IRAs, and things like that are always flowing into the market. So there is always reason to believe that, you know, dull markets drift higher, and you could, if you, with the lack of any real selling pressure, you could see markets trying to work their way higher. So we don't know when the top's going to come in, but we can tell you that this is built like garbage, but that doesn't matter. Okay. Again, it can be whatever you want it to be, but we cannot predict that this is the end, because you the relationship is not necessarily linked, and certainly not this time. It's the same as we talked about for weeks. Everybody goes crude oil and markets are going exactly the same way. Well, all of a sudden that changed, and that's why I keep saying there is not, they're not linked. That's just a bunch of BS made up by the media, and it's got nothing to do with anything. All right, so just keep that in mind. And keep in mind that every day this show is available via podcast at libertytalk.fm. Be one of the 200,000, because we're going for 300,000, who download it every day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, again, in my everlasting efforts to help everybody understand markets, okay, you know, there's been some famous quotes out there, and, you know, you never sell a dull market. And, you know, Jesse Livermore, I've earned more by sitting than by being active. And the markets are never wrong. And the one thing for sure, and this is what you have to learn, and please commit it to your memory. Commit it to your mind. Commit it to your trading style. The market is never wrong. Okay? We can think it's not going in the right direction, and you can be frustrated, but at the end of the day, the markets are never wrong. Because at the end of the day, when they mark your position, if you're out of money, you're bust. Okay? So if you think that you're smarter than the market, you're not. Okay. Now you might have a good sense of timing, but you are going to, and there is nobody who is able to avoid that run them up or run them down, depending, run the exact opposite of what you own or are short, and give you the, as Doyle Brunch used to say, put a man, or in this case, a man or a woman, in a position, in a decision for all of his or her chips. Now, you know, if you don't think that's true, just you trade long enough and you fight to tape long enough, and you're going to put yourself in that position. And that's a position you should never be in the markets. The beauty of playing poker, the beauty of trading in the markets is, in poker, you don't have to call if you don't think you have the best of it. In the markets, you don't have to stay in if you don't think your position is right anymore. But many of us have a tendency to fight. We call it fighting the tape, which is never good. Okay, and I've done it, and I know how painful it is. And even if you're right by fighting, and you eventually turn out to be right, that is probably the worst thing that could ever happen to you, is because you'll think you can always fight it or outlast it. And what will happen is you'll get a move like you just had now, 13%, or you'll get a move like he had in 09. And I give you a number of instances over history of where you would have fought the market. You know, I fought the law and whatever it was. I fought the law. I fought the law and the law won. Okay. You cannot, you are never going to outbeat, outsmart, or outfox. Because if you remember, what drives the market? Okay, well, the market is driven by human emotion. Okay, so even though everything is computerized, there still are humans that are investing and driving the market through the emotions of fear and greed. And if I were looking at the index, I would say that we are in the greed phase right now. Now, we're not seeing the greed of what we remember of the olden days, just a couple of years ago, because, you know, obviously things happen faster now. But I would certainly say we're in the greed phase. Margin debts at record highs, people borrowing to invest. You're forcing everybody in. You have eliminated any opportunity and any hope for any opportunity for people to get into a bank account or whatever, because you've already been told last week by our good friend Janet Yellen, okay, that they're probably not going to raise. At most, you might have two this year, but you're most likely not going to have any unless something really picks up. Now, since they've already lied about the inflation numbers because we're past 2%, which is obviously very ugly because the whole point of life was to hope that you had enough money you could put in the bank and the bank would pay a slightly higher interest rate than inflation. Well, the bank is paying zero, basically, and inflation is over 2%. And if you do count in food and energy, it's even higher. Okay, so we can forget about their bullshit that they spew and they lie and they, you know, they're just two-faced. That's all I can tell you. They tell you one story, but the real truth of the matter is they have no clue, and they're just part of the central banking cartel that lies and then convinces us that they're doing it for our own good. Okay, only because they want to be able to tax us at a later time. Okay. And of course, you know that you're paying for the bailout and you'll be paying and I'll be paying for the next bailout. Why? Because that's how the central bank works. The central bank is a disaster. It always has been a disaster. And you can go back to the 1600s in England of their central bank, because all the central banks want to do is gather all the money. They want to be like the banker in Monopoly. Okay, and end up with all the cash. They want you and me just to be, you know, happy-go-lucky citizens living on in the world of Marxism and socialism, and have no hope to get out. Now, of course, in this country, nobody would stand for that. And you're going to, again, you will see at some point in this country some sort of a financial, even possibly a fighting revolution again, because government is outsized itself. Government is creating far too many problems. You've got too many people that are even leaning to the socialist view. And any person who is an entrepreneur has no interest in a socialist view of an economy, because all that does is takes out your heart and the desire to go work. I mean, if you knew that once you made past $100,000, most of your money was going to go to pay taxes, how much harder would you work? Well, I don't think many of us would work very hard after that, unless we know a way to scam the money away from the government. This is the whole problem with the fiat currency system right now. This is what's making Bitcoin more popular, because people are tired of having to show all their money and have to pay such a high tax rate with no real hope of ever recovering it. You know, do you realize that most of you, you know, you younger guys and gals will never see Social Security? So in the meantime, you're paying, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 a year into Social Security. I forget what the maximum is now. Maybe it might even be as high as $8,000. I don't remember. I let my accountant do it and I just write the check. I mean, I always pay the max. Now, I have a chance to get it, because I'm telling you right now, I'm collecting at 62. I'm not waiting. I'm taking my money when I can get it, because I don't think it sits there. But at the end of the day, you've really got an issue here with the way the system is, with the amount of debt that has been created. Okay. I mean, think about it. How are we going to ever pay the debt? I mean, it's virtually an impossibility until we let everything crap out. Now, that's where the central banks come in, because all they do is they just create some money out of thin air. Okay. And your dollar in your pocket, let's say it's worth 50 cents now compared to what it's worth now, well, they'll just make it worth 30 cents. So you'll end up not only having to pay higher taxes to help bail it out again, but you'll also get that hidden tax of what they call inflation. Okay. Because inflation will start to spike. So not only will you be paying more of your income tax type of taxes, but you'll also get to pay the hidden tax of inflation. And of course, that's just what we need, more taxation, so that we can give away more of our money to others. And of course, depending on where you live, you know, if you live in California, New York, or Washington, my God, you've got another set of taxes. So where is the reason to want to go run and do and make all this money and be an entrepreneur when you can't keep it anyways? But hopefully that will eventually change. And I think that is what you're going to see eventually, is you're going to see some sort of financial revolution first. But you know, we're getting to a point as you're seeing all the protesters at some of the rallies. You're seeing more of a run to the terrorism groups. Those are warning signs. Those are out and out saying to you, hey, I can't live, I can't eat, but these guys are going to feed me, so I'm going to go in their direction. That's not good. It's very much similar to Nazi Germany. Now, we've got to stop it. We've got to stop it now. But the first way you stop that is we've got to get the people in charge is our voting. We've got to vote out the crap. You can't continue to keep voting in these idiots that keep have one thing in mind. How do I get the average guy's money out of his pocket? How do I separate him from his cash? Believe me, it's the facts, it's the truth, and I'm not, you know, this is not sensational and I'm not predicting anything. I'm just telling you, these are things that you can see. But in the meantime, join my friends Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks over at Thinkorswim. They run the swim lesson program over there. Free lessons every day. Give you an idea how to use the software better. Talk about markets. And you know me, I'm a Thinkorswim fan, built by traders for traders. And anytime you miss an episode, you need to go to libertytalk.fm, download it, because now we just surpassed 200,000, and I'm trying to get to 3. But for now, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm stepping out for a break, and I will be right back at the
break. So delicious.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the talented Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What do you say, Matt?
I don't know. I'm doing well. How about you, Todd?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little concerned that the markets keep going up every day, and I'm concerned that I've been short a little bit of that. But, of course, defending it all the way, not just sitting there. But markets do these things, and it's part of the world of trading, and you can't always nail them right on the market, which is why I always tell everybody, hey, you know, this market is not traded with a scalpel. You have to have a butcher knife that you have to be in the area. And, you know, for example, if you have a level at, you know, 1950 or 2050 in the S&P, you know, 2053 is the same as 2050, in my opinion, and that's what I look at. But what are you looking at these days, my man?
Well, you know, last time we spoke, we talked about I was looking at Europe versus the U.S. And for me, last week, you know, we hit, Euro Stoxx 50 did not make a new high. DAX completed a pattern that we had to the upside. It was just a modestly higher high than the week before. And now, for me, you know, Europe is just sort of treading water here. And, you know, the U.S. keeps going higher. I think it's a very clear pattern for Europe to roll over, you know, and fall here. But we're going to need participation on the U.S. side, I think, to get that going. So now it's just a question of when's the U.S. going to turn.
What do you use to trade Europe?
What do I use? Oh, I trade the Euro Stoxx 50. There's two ETFs I use. One's FEZ, and the other is HEDJ, if you want, you know, the euro taken out of it. For the DAX, I trade either the futures or EWG.
Okay. All right. So what are you seeing here, Matt? I mean, you know, we've had, obviously, you're 100% a technician, and, you know, that's what you do. We had, of course, last week we had Janet Yellen come out, and her statement was a little bit more dovish than one could imagine, which is obviously because there was no way after the initial rally we saw last Wednesday. I really thought that was the top of the run once they turned him over, because I couldn't imagine that you could say anything more dovish and continue to have the free money train. And we'd already priced in, I thought, you know, a pretty good announcement from her. And of course, the free money guys, they liked it even better. And they then turned them around and, of course, took them up and took them up and took them up. And then, of course, you tie that into a triple witching expiration. And you get a market that's still rallying. I mean, 13 or 14% from the February 11th lows. What are you seeing here in the U.S. markets?
Well, we've attained every target I wanted to see in the S&P, with the possible exception of there's another one at 2,062. We can maybe get up to that. The Dow, I don't think, quite made it to our target, which is basically 17,700, just slightly lower, maybe 17,690. So I really don't think there's a lot more. I keep saying this every time, though, and we keep, you know, pushing into new levels. But that would be, you know, sort of, for me, sort of a line in the sand if Dow continued to press higher and, you know, beyond 17,700, and if S&P exceeded 2,062, I would consider throwing in the towel. We're not actually short U.S. We're just short Europe. So, you know, we're... You know, that would be my line in the sand if we were short the U.S.
Now, does it bother you that in Europe that you only play through the ETF, so you miss like the first 6 hours of trading, or that doesn't mean anything to you?
It doesn't really matter, because the ETFs kind of make their own patterns in addition to the indices, so they may not, you know, percentage wise be exact. In terms of where they peak, but the patterns still show where they should peak, so we can still get them, you know, towards the top.
Going back to what you were saying
about the dovish comments out of Yellen and the FOMC meeting, that was crazy. The last time I wanted to talk about that, because the last time we spoke, we talked about the dollar, and dollar. You know, going into last weekend, you know, a week ago, it looked like it was headed for our target roughly mid 94s. And, you know, it then bounced prior to that target and prior to the statement that we got. So when they were so dovish, that actually brought the dollar down to its target. So I think the dollar now, we're going to see a lot of strength out of the dollar coming up.
Which would mean weakness in the euro, and what about the yen?
The yen is strange, because the yen also looks like it's going to weaken relative to the dollar. So, I mean, that would make sense if the dollar's strong. The only thing that bothers me about it is that, you know, if stock markets are going to synchronize to the downside, then typically when it, you know, so that would mean the Nikkei would sell off. If the Nikkei sells off, it's typically strong for the yen. The yen strengthens typically with that. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen this time. I think it will weaken.
So, you know, when you're looking at all the things, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Aussie as well here. So we haven't.
Yeah, Aussie is now, you know, it's kind of been trading in no man's land for a while, from my perspective. It's now run to the upside strongly. It's highly correlated with gold and minerals, which have done really well recently, like commodity space. The commercials have gone. They were heavily long, and now they've sold out of all their long positions and are now heavily net short. So it's got basically three strikes against it, because, as I said, it's overbought, and on the gold side, I'm looking at gold, and I'm thinking it's going to pull back as well. So I think that correlation will probably hold up, you know, and Aussie dollar will fall as well.
So let's just talk about a little bit of trade management as we, you know, we're coming towards the end of this segment. But so, you know, oil, you're looking for a spot to short oil. You're looking for a spot to short the Aussie because of oil and some other natural materials, you know, and some others that fit together. Now, will you short all of them, or will you say this one is the most related? In other words, will you build positions in every different item there, or if they're very much correlated, will you pick one and do the selling or buying? Doesn't matter.
Well, sometimes I'll pick one if it's, you know, a screaming clear pattern. Like if it's a very clear cut pattern, very exact, I'll maybe pick one. In this case, I have a variety of patterns that are all pretty decent. So we are short oil. We didn't quite hit our target high last week, but we came close enough that we started a small short position. We don't have a short yet on Aussie, but to give you the short answer is we kind of spread it out, you know, do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They should, you know, as a group, they tend to, you know, move together.
Because I want everybody to kind of understand
this.
It's
a diversification for me to do a small amount of each area.
Right. So what you would probably do, let's say you're going to invest $10,000. I'm throwing a number out. But so if there's four different products that were kind of semi-related, you might do $2,500 in each versus just $10,001.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So that, because again, they don't always have to go the same way. I mean, we know they should, you know, like the Canadian and oil should go together, but it doesn't mean that they always will, right? Nothing is forever. Nothing is always. That would make sense, right?
That's true. And, you know, it's particularly with oil and Canadian, that's such a high correlation that you're almost shorting either. Like if you short Canadian, you're essentially shorting oil. If you short oil, you're essentially shorting Canadian. So that one's almost exactly the same. But yeah, I generally agree with, you know, to spread it out.
Now, do you prefer the ETF space or do you prefer the future space if you're given your choice?
Well, it depends on which product we're talking about. If it's oil, I like shorting USO, the ETF, because it suffers from the issue of, you know, every time oil rolls,
It suffers from time decay, like an option, as well as the actual direction being correct.
It's got the decay issue. So if you're actually going to go from the short side, then I prefer the ETF. If it's going to go from the long side, I'd probably do the oil producers, the actual companies that produce oil. If we're talking about Australian dollar, probably the cleanest way to do that is the currency itself in Forex.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that, the Forex markets, a little bit as well when we come back from the break. But this is, we're hanging out with our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Always brings his A game to the show. And of course, you can see that he tells it exactly like it is. And he's got no opinion as to what anybody else says. It's always comes down to the straight out technical analysis of the chart versus anything else. And I think that's always important for you, the individual investor, to have a viewpoint that is not based on an opinion of, well, this is how I interpret it. This is purely based on a mathematical opinion based on how Matt reads the chart. So make sure you check him out at DemeterResearch.com. And he does have a special deal for the Bubba Show subscribers. So make sure you check it out. In the meantime, as I've been saying, the show is available on download every day. We have just surpassed 200,000 downloads a month, and we're now looking to push to 3. So I need your help to get out there and, you know, every day download the show at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. We are with our friend Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back and get more from Matt because I want to talk about commitment of traders as well. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the man with the A-game. So, Matt, before we get into the commitment of traders and things like that, I just, you know, we both thought that we were near a top, and your work showed it, and your work had room for a little bit higher, but had some spots before it. And, of course, I was short, and last week I was very concerned being short just because I know that triple witching expirations tend, not always, but tend to be a little bit higher. So combining that with, you know, with the Fed meeting, and I go, well, if she does something stupid like she did, I could get it stuck to me. And of course I did, and they did. And but it was fairly typical for a triple witching. So I was a little bit leery going in. But then now we've got Easter week. Does that also provide a problem from your knowledge or from your experience?
Seasonality of Easter?
Yeah.
It's probably typically bullish, but I actually don't know about Easter week. The reason why I'm, you know, a little bit surprised by the strength, it's not really that we've continued higher. We've continued to respect lines that, you know, should cause some reaction, but the reaction's been relatively minor. What's more interesting to me, though, is if you look at, you know, long-term rates, for example, they, you know, for the past several days have been falling. The last two or three days of last week, the 10-year rate has been falling. And that's unusual that would be happening while markets are moving higher. Essentially, what, you know, Yellen said was that, I mean, they can control the short end of the curve very well, obviously. The long end of the curve, they, you know, kind of moves much more on its own. And if they're saying, hey, look, we don't really worry, we're not really that worried about inflation, we're just going to, you know, take it easy on interest rate hikes, that, you know, that should make the 10-year rate go up. And stocks going up should make the 10-year rate go up. And yet the 10-year rate is dropping. And that's a very strange divergence. Usually it's a sign of impending weakness in equities. Usually the bond market has it right. And the other major divergence is as we've already said, is Europe is not playing along. It is, you know, it's not making new highs. It's just stagnating and looks ready to roll over. And I'd say the same thing about the Nikkei. And frankly, China, too. China looks like it's about to roll over as well. So, you know, who knows? We might go sideways for another week, you know, up a little bit more. My target in Dow at least is a little bit higher. But, you know, I'm still looking for the next big leg to the downside.
Well, I would actually, if I had my preference, I'd like to see it go sideways and break from a sideways. I'd hate to see it just, I don't want to see another V. Right. I'd like to see it consolidate and then break to the downside and get a much bigger move out of it. But now we talked about a little bit about grains last week as well. And of course, we were working a spread and of course, it went a little bit opposite against us. But of course, I mean, when I look at corn, you know, I cover the grains, and when I look at corn, which was your short corn rally a little bit, but it's really looks like it just rallied back into a downward trending market that's going to probably break. And I still believe that corn's going to make, before we get any sustained rally in corn and soybeans, we're going to get new contract lows before we can see those move higher. Whereas I do think wheat has hit the bottom. What are your thoughts, sir?
No, I agree entirely. That's the pairs trade we have on as well. Yes, we have a very strong support that I don't expect it to break. So, but in terms of corn and soybeans, I have projections that are significantly lower. So we're in total agreement there. And also, if you look at the, you know, the commitment of traders reports, the big banks are, you know, they're actually long all three grains. They just took off almost all of their long position in soybeans. So now they're just barely net long soybeans. In corn, they took some off as well. And in wheat, they took some off as well. But they took the least off in wheat. And wheat's, in terms of the indicators, is the least overbought on these recent rallies, which have been, you know, relatively modest, but...
Well, the soybean rally was pretty big. I mean, that, and in fact, I mean, if you look at the chart, in fact, I wrote this morning that, you know, I mean, the soybeans did break out, but they seem to pause, depending on which contract you're looking at, but they seem to have paused here. And I still expect, again, I expect contract lows in soybeans, and I expect contract lows in corn before we can move to the upside. I'm actually very bullish in space. And, you know, those I trade a little bit differently, Matt. I actually just own them. I'm willing to take them to zero. Okay, you know, I make a commitment to certain types of commodities when they get to certain levels. Okay, to me, it's okay, and I'm not getting out. Right, I'm going to carry them now. You know, they're not that expensive to carry. It's not really trading now. Now I'm investing in corn, in soybeans, and wheat almost as I would in a stock that I was going to hold for a long term. And that's really what I'm doing, because I am long, way out in time as well in those. But again, I don't worry about that. But from a short term basis, I firmly expect to see new contract lows. But in this case, the bank, I know the banks are a little bit long, but the big commercial traders and the funds, I think, are a pretty big short here right now. So I think that'll help push them down a little bit as well. But what are you seeing in the commitment of traders report this week in general throughout the land?
Throughout the whole commodity space. Interestingly, one that I thought was pretty interesting was lean hogs, which had a massive move up. And the commercials pretty substantially increased their short positions there. It's had a great run. I thought it had a pretty strong bottom, lean hogs did, a few weeks back. I don't know if it can continue to run. I think it should pull back probably a little bit, at least short term. If you talk about gold and silver still have massive short positions. We, at the end of last week, volume exploded after the Fed meeting, after the announcement of, you know, the super dovish announcement. So on that volume explosion, I expect that the commercials have added even more to their short positions. They're now, you know, short going back many years. And now that I feel the dollar has bottomed, or very nearly so, in the 94s, I feel that, you know, the dollar is going to now rally, and the metals will fall in that space.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, of course, I own silver. I do own some gold, but the physical stuff I don't sell. Obviously, I'm not trading the physical stuff. I just, you know, obviously put it away. But I mean, I would expect to see some little bit of a retrace, a little bit of a sell off. I mean, I know you're bullish in the well longer term, but in the short term, which is what you're doing trading, you're looking for a little bit of a pullback, and I can certainly understand that. How far do you think gold could pull back? Where's your line in the sand, or just a general? Is it 1,200 or?
No, I actually think gold can make new lows, and I think silver can make new lows too. But that said, as you said, I'm very bullish long term. And I'm just waiting for what I expect this to be the final leg lower. You know, I can't be absolutely sure about that, but I believe we're going to make modestly lower lows in both metals, and then that'll be it. That'll be the bear market bottom. And then we're going to see, a secular bull market begin. There's one other thing I want to mention in terms of oil. The commercials are not giving up there either. They are shorting into any strength in oil. So that's another area. Kind of across the board, commodity-wise, they are increasing their shorts. And I think that may be related, you know, somewhat to the dollar.
I'm sure you're right. And this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
Make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. You can hear the work that he does. And, you know, we finally got him to bring in a little bit more farming products, too, because we got a lot of farmers and producers on the program. So now you can start to get excited about some new stuff. But Matt's great, and we always enjoy having him on. This is The Bubba Show. If you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Make sure you check it out and download it. Be one of the masses of over 200,000 people that are now downloading the show every day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.